Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verse 14, verse 15. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So looking for a picture of as Moses lifted up the serpent and came across that on the internet. On the left in the foreground, there is people of Israel staring at the bronze snake on the pole. And the right in the background, Jesus on the cross. And at that point, it gets extreme. See, no pastor would dare to make that comparison if Jesus hadn't done so himself. The reason why no pastor would dare to make that comparison is, well, tell me the background. What does the snake symbolize? The devil and sin and evil. And you say, I want a picture of Jesus. I want a picture of Jesus. And Jesus says, here's a picture of me. Evil hanging on a pole. That's extreme. But there it is. And he does make that comparison. And he does say, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And of course, the background. People of Israel journeying through the wilderness, and they rebelled again and again and again. And one of those times, they went too far, and God sent venomous snakes among them. And they come to Moses, and they say, Moses, we've sinned, we've sinned, we've sinned. Yeah, I know. Pray for us. He goes to God and he prays, and God says, so it's from God himself. Hammer out a bronze snake, put it up on a pole, and when somebody is bitten, if they look to the bronze snake on the pole, they will live. Okay? That sets there for century after century, until Jesus comes along and he takes that picture and he says, that's me. That's a picture of me. What does this mean? The title for the sermon is The Man of Sin. Pastor, isn't that going a bit far? Yes, it is. But that's where Jesus took it. It's important that it is a teacher of Israel, Nicodemus, who comes and asks Jesus things. It's important. Now, by the way, did you notice toward the beginning how Nicodemus comes and he begins to ask, and Jesus jumps right to something, and Nicodemus could have said, wait a minute, I didn't ask about that. But Jesus knows our hearts, knows us inside, and so you see this time and time again in the Gospel of John, that he goes right past all of those things that are on the surface and right to the heart of where we are and what we need to hear. You must be born again. And now Nicodemus is confused. Now, the heart and the core of being born again is a different way of seeing God. Nicodemus is one of the religious leaders of Israel. So he's got the religion thing going on. Now, the religion thing, where you're doing things and you're You're trying to live right and improve yourself and grow stronger in faith and do good works and show kindness and love. And you've got all this religious stuff going on, and you're trying to make yourself more presentable to God, and so you want to draw closer to God. That's the religion thing. And what Jesus essentially says is that his religion thing is going to be absolutely and completely different from Nicodemus's or from anybody else who's ever lived in the world. And what he's going to do for religion is he is going to make himself covered with as much sin as he possibly can. And in that state, covered with sin, that's how he's going to go and appear before God. And he's the one we follow. What can that mean? Well, this is the heart and the core of the Christian faith. That Jesus came not to teach us how to be better religiously, not to teach us how to do good works and be better people, improved sinners. He came to take the sin of the whole world on himself. Like with the illustration of my grandfather's coal bin. See, there I was after playing in his coal bin, covered from head to foot. Just dark with soot and coal dust and probably tracking footsteps across the floor as I came upstairs, and my mother takes one look at me and instantly, see, I have no memory of the in-between. There was looking at her, then there was in the tub. And I wonder how quickly I got there. But yeah, that's how I presented myself to my mother that day. Jesus takes the sin of the whole world on himself. He takes the wrongs we do, the sinful thoughts inside, the hatred of the neighbor, the wandering off from God, the curved in on ourselves and wanting it all to be for us and about us. He takes all of that. He takes what... yeah, okay, we've got to use the word filth. He takes the filth of the entire history of the human race and he piles it on himself, covers himself from head to foot, and he says, basically, here, Father, here I am. I'm the sin of the whole world. Do with me what is right. And what was right was to judge a holy God, not tolerating sin in his presence. And so God the Father turns his back on Jesus. To judge and the fiery wrath of God that's deserved. How many times in our lives have we earned that? And so God the Father pours out the fiery wrath on his own Son. And there Jesus is on the cross, hanging there as the sin of the whole world, hanging there as wickedness and evil in the flesh. That's his idea of religion. It explodes every other way of thinking that we could go to God. It also is deadly honest, isn't it? there's more. From that Old Testament story of the serpent on the pole. See, anyone who is bitten by a snake when they looked at the serpent on the pole would live. And the looking is a picture of faith. So it applies to us. Anybody here who is snake bit, well, when you consider the symbolism in the Bible, that includes all of us. We have all been snake bitten with the poison of the devil running through our system. Snake bit. And Jesus calls us to simply look at him on the cross. And looking at him to say, there's my sin. There is the man God sent that would take all of my sin. And there he is. What's he doing with my sin? He's carrying it away. What's he do with my sin? Pictures from the Old Testament. Removing it as far as east is from west. Throwing it into the depths of the ocean. And having it remembered no more. So, that's Jesus' plan of religion. What does that mean for our lives? Well, it means that we're not on the path to being somewhat improved sinners. It means that God has stepped in and completely changed everything. It means that we don't try and earn God's favor, and we don't, after we've been given his favor, we don't try and show him that we're worthy of his favor. Because we can't earn it and we aren't worthy. But instead, having received his favor in Jesus Christ, we simply believe what he tells us. And we enjoy being given that gift. We celebrate being his people. We come and we sing his praises, which is why Christianity is the religion that more than any other does hymns of celebration and joy. We sing. And we go through our lives saying, look at my sin. There it is. It's gone. How do I stand before God? I stand before the cross of Jesus Christ. It means another bunch of things for us. Now, after we have heard and believed the message of Jesus Christ, does anybody want to go and reclaim part of their sin and say, no, 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 Jesus, don't take care of that part? That part's mine to handle? That would be silly. And it means that when those sins come up and bother our conscience, that we can say, yes, yes, those were my sins. They were. Somebody else came and he claimed them and he said, they're going to be mine now. And he carried them off from us. And so those sins that I was trying to deal with, they're gone. It also means that we have something to say to the world. And the something we have to say to the world is, listen, world, You're struggling to deal with the things in life that have gone wrong, with struggles in your soul, with confusion, with places where you know that you've wandered off from what is right, and you're feeling guilty, and you don't know how you stand before God. Let me show you my sin. Come and look at my sin. There it is. Taken by Jesus to the cross. And listen, world. He didn't just come to take our sin or my sin. He came to take your sin and set you free. So, if you're troubled by sin, if you wonder where you stand before God, you stand right there as a sinner, knowing that God has taken care of that part. And once you have learned that and understand that, then the freedom that is there, day after day, to say, my life has been made new in Jesus Christ. So this is what Jesus meant to Nicodemus about being born again. That once you have seen this truth of Jesus on the cross and your sin taken by Him, that you really are new. God has given you a new beginning, and you are not what you were. So, how do we respond to all of this? We celebrate. In Jesus' name, amen.